want to bless the Italian. Praise you.
Amen.
Precious name.
Amen.
We know that this week, the verses we study is from...
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. So I just feel there's a need to explain a few words. I did this in Flushing. I don't remember whether I did this here, so I just repeat it again. Then I just share with you whatever impressed me. Then later you share what you enjoy the most. So then, the first of all, here you see, we know starting from chapter 3, you have this word. The main burden is that Paul wants to encourage us to pursue Christ, to gain him. Now, why he used this word gain? So if you... Why Paul did not use another word, but he used this word gain? Because if you go to the Webster Dictionary, you will see that this word gain, the meaning was very close to this word win. Now, when you use the word win, then you know that very often it's related to a war, a battle, right? Usually you say you win a battle or you lose a battle. So then, here, Paul, when he talks about we need to pursue after the Lord, and then he, because he want to pursue the Lord and want to know the Lord, and then he count all the other things were refuse. And so what I'm trying to say is this. Then, since Paul used this word gain, and that means, or that implies, that all these things here is in a spiritual warfare. When we say we need to pursue Christ, yes, we all need to pursue Christ, but we need to gain Christ. Not only we need to gain Christ, and let Christ gain us first. And what does that mean? That means there's a warfare. We all know this. The universal warfare is between Satan and God. And this war is not for gaining other things. It's not to gain some territories. No, this war is to gain what? To gain us. To gain people. God created us according to his eternal economy, according to his eternal purpose. He has the purpose to create us, so that we can be a corporate man to express God. We can be the corporate man to represent God, to deal with his enemy. So all this, you all know, we have mentioned many, many times. But the crucial thing for us to really understand and enter into the intrinsic meaning of the book of Philippians, we need to see that we need to pursue God, but this is a spiritual warfare. We thank the Lord. Today, most of us here, we have believed in the Lord, right? Most of us. So that means what? That means Christ has won the victory concerning us. He gained us. He gained us means he had defeated Satan and bring us back into his kingdom. So we have to realize this. And so we thank the Lord. Today we are saved because the Lord has won the war, and because we belong to him today. But then, after we have been gained by Christ, we need to fight this battle to gain more of Christ. I hope that we can see this picture, right? So we praise the Lord. So today, we cannot just relax and just in a very indifferent attitude. We have to see something very serious, something very big going on in the universe. That is, God and the Satan are fighting this warfare. And so we praise the Lord. The Lord has won the victory. And now we also need to win the victory to gain more Christ. Amen. So if we see this picture, I hope that that will help us to go ahead. So in other words, we should have the right kind of attitude to face what we're facing today. Then another thing we have said many times, we thank the Lord, that is in chapter 3. You have these forget about things behind, stretch forward to the things before. In other words, all of us, regardless how many years you have been saved, regardless how much you tried to pay the price to sacrifice and to gain Christ, none of us can say we have already arrived. Even Paul said, he also said that he also did not have this assurance that we have gained. So all what we should do, our attitude is just forget about things behind, stretch forward to the things before. So in the past, maybe we have won some, by the Lord's mercy, we have won some victory, and don't just remain there. Don't all the time think, wow, so a certain day, certain year, certain months, and a certain day that we, I had won this victory, praise the Lord. And all the time, we cannot get out of that. We have to forget about what is in the behind. Amen. Just press forward to what is before. And also many of us, we fail many times in the past. But don't just remain there. We just confess our sins. We just turn to the Lord. And so just press forward. Forget about things behind. Whether your past history is glorious, is good, or is a failure. If it's a failure, we just confess our sins. And we just press forward to gain Christ. Okay, so this is the attitude. And this is very simple. I believe all of us understand this, and we just have to practice this. But then another thing is here in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 11, let's read that verse together. Yet perhaps I may attend to the resurrection from the dead. Okay, so here you have this word, the out resurrection. Now, in the past, certain brother, may the Lord cover me to say this, in the past there was a brother, he was very negative. And once he said to me, why just based on this one word, out resurrection. Now this out resurrection, this out is O-U-T hyphen. If we know a little bit grammar, we know this word was what? Preposition. And then not even a whole word. How could you just based on this little preposition and you develop into such a big truth that we will have the outstanding resurrection. So this is why today we also read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Just try to impress you that Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, it is not just this place mentioning about the outstanding resurrection. In other words, we will all resurrected. And then those who did not believe in the Lord, they also will be resurrected. But then after resurrection, they will be before the white throne. They will get the Christ judgment. And then the Christians, we also will be resurrected. But then we will not be thrown into the lake of fire. But then among the Christians, also we have different kind of resurrection. So all depend on today's, what kind of life we Christians live. If we live a normal Christian life, then we'll have entered into the Lord's wedding feast. Just like yesterday, we had the wedding feast. Everybody's so happy. Now, when we enter into the Lord's wedding feast, I don't know how many more times of happiness or enjoy to that wedding. So, but anyway, that is our gift the Lord has promised us. But then, again, it is based on our today's Christian living. And if we did not learn to serve the Lord, if we did not go on with the Lord, and then when the Lord comes back, we have to face the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible tells us very clearly God's judgment starts from his own family. And so all these things, that's why we have to emphasize all these things. And then you see that especially in the book of Hebrews, in order to gain Christ, in order to get into the Christ wedding feast, because we will be the corporate bride. And then, so if we need to have this desire to get into this, then that's why we have to get into all these verses. And here in Hebrew, you could see that throughout the history, how many people, they sacrificed so many things. They put many things aside in order to gain Christ. And so this is these are our examples, our good examples. So we, in order for us to get into the wedding feast with the Lord, and also to become a part of Christ's army to fight the Antichrist, and then we today our living really have to be one with the Lord and one with the other saints. So here, that's why all these things are very important. So I mentioned these things. But then, before we come to... I think because of time, we just say this, that's good enough. And then, so let's read verse 17, okay? Yeah, go ahead. Let's read verse 7, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. We know that in the first part, so we already had spent quite some time on Philippians chapter 3, the first three verses. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, for me it is not irksome, but for you it is safe." I hope that we pay attention to this word safe. Why to rejoice is safe? Because if we do not rejoice, then it's dangerous. So praise the Lord that today we need to rejoice. Then when rejoice in the Lord, if you are not in the Lord, it's hard for us to rejoice. But then the thing is, in order to rejoice, then Paul mentioned the following two things. But then you can see that, I don't know about you, when I was young, it really puzzles me. If Paul encourages to be rejoicing, but then he should say something that really make us, help us to rejoice. But the other things the two verses right after that is, beware of the dogs, beware with the evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision and the ones who serve by the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. These words are not happy words, right? But then, many times we have to see that the reason we could not rejoice is because there are these dogs. Who are the dogs? We have said many times before, these apply to the Judaizers. And so they are the religious dogs. And also the evil ones. The evil ones here also apply to the Judaizers. If you read the book of Acts, you could see that how evil these Judaizers were. They come up with all kinds of evil things in order to kill Paul. So then, not only that, they also talk about the concession. A concession we mentioned many times. You could not find this word in the dictionary, but this is a word Paul invented. It was the word really put down this matter of circumcision. Okay, so but anyway, we have mentioned this many times in the past. You could see that these are the ones really will frustrate our fellowship with the Lord and will frustrate our joy. So this is the thing we have already said a few times in the past. So in verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision, the ones who serve by the Spirit of God, and boast in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence
in anything." So it is the original, the burden is that the reason in the Old Testament time that they have circumcision, it is to cut our flesh away.
In other words, our flesh can never please God. Our flesh is always God's enemy. So that's why in the Old Testament, they have this circumcision to typify that we need to cut our flesh away. But then, when the Lord Jesus came, we don't need to have this outward practice. We have only the Lord Jesus in He and His cross can save us from our flesh. And so this, I think we all know. So here in verse 3, especially talk about that this is what, that we are the ones who serve by the Spirit of God. And then we, and boast in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. So I think this is very clear. So all these are related to the Spirit. Not only here in chapter 3, verse 3, mentioned about today, it's in the Spirit. The Spirit of God. In the Spirit of God, we have the real circumcision. And so only the Spirit of God can save us from our flesh. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 also said, our old man, that is our flesh, has been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I who live, then Christ lives in us. And so all this, in other words, here in the first three chapters, Paul spent a lot of time concerning this matter of spirit. Not only here, and also like earlier in the first chapter, also talked about the supply, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Right. So all these are very precious, and we need to then get into all these verses. But then after this, so we come to chapter 3, verse 17. Okay, it says, "Be imitators together of me, brothers, and observe those who thus walk, even as you have us as a pattern." Now, start from this point on. So Paul switched his burden from the Spirit to the soul and the body. Okay, so this is what was covered after verse 17. And verse 18, it says, "For many walked of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, and those end, whose end is destruction, whose God is their stomach, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." So this describes the situation. So I think you all know the three circles. So can somebody help me to draw the three circles? Okay. Yeah, you can draw a better circle. Okay. One, two, okay, three. Yeah. Okay, very good. Now, the only thing is next time when you draw, and don't make this too big, okay? Make it narrow, because our body is just a shell, okay? And so when today we know on outside, it is just our body, physical body. But then we have, in the middle is our soul. But then in the deep most part of our being is our spirit. Then if people ask you, "Have you been saved?" What will you say?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's good. You have to say yes. But then, if you don't say yes, the other Christians probably will preach gospel to you. So you just say yes. Make it simple, okay? But actually, it's what? Today, our spirit has been saved. At the time when we believe in the Lord, we receive Jesus Christ into us, and He is the Spirit. Amen. He is the Spirit of life. In His resurrection, He became the life-giving Spirit. And so the Lord Jesus entered into our spirit, and therefore this became what? This became, before this time, our spirit was dead. But once Christ entered into us, our spirit became alive. Not only became alive, our spirit mingles with the divine spirit. So become a what? Become a mingled spirit. And so our spirit is saved. But then, that is not the whole story. After our spirit is saved, then this Lord wants to occupy, wants to make His home in our heart. Our heart is our whole soul. That includes mind, emotion, and will, plus the conscience in our spirit. So today, you can say, "My soul is being saved today." But then, when the Lord comes back, our physical body will be resurrected. By that time, our body will be saved. So I hope that this is clear. Now, why I want to do this, just want to show you what Paul tried to do here is that, first of all, that he has already talked to us about the Spirit, even talked to us about the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then, now he wanted to, what? He wanted to deal with our soul and deal with our body. Now, in the past, I was wondering why Paul, in these portions, why he did not deal with the soul first. He dealt with the body first. And then later in chapter 4, he dealt with the soul. So I have to follow his sequence. Most likely it's because at that time, not only Judaism is very strong, and so the early churches would damaged by Judaism very much. Not only the Judaism, and also the Greek philosophy, also they damaged the early church very much. And one of the philosophy was that we should just let our physical body just enjoy whatever, indulge in the lust, and just enjoy. As long as I like this, so what? Today, even more serious than 2,000 years ago. By that time, because already it's very, this kind of philosophy, just you just enjoy whatever you want. And so because of this, so Paul would deal with this. You see that he used very strong words here. And he said that these are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And then, whose end is destruction? Whose God is their stomach? It's very strong words, right? But then, I had a little bit experience about this. Because in 1955, there was a brother, and he, he moved from Taipei to Brazil. He migrated. His whole family migrated from Taipei to Brazil. And then he preached the gospel there, and he had the church life started there. And at that time, in the beginning, I respected him very much because he was very diligent. And many saints also very knew that he was very diligent. And the thing that really touched me was, even though he was rich, he was a rich business person, and then, but he always told us that when he went to a place, he never stayed with any hotel. And he would stay with the local saints, and all the local saints were very poor. And so, but he wanted to be, he joined with the local saints. And the place was very poor, poor to one degree. Their restroom was just a big hole on the ground. And so that, but then this brother, even though he was a rich brother, he always went there and stayed with them. And so then that time, I also wanted to visit those saints. But so when I went to that city, because my wife, Phoebe, was with me, so I could not let her to live in that kind of place. Actually, this brother warned me, you have to be very careful, don't fall into the hole. Okay, so, but then, yeah, I of course I want to be very careful. But on the other hand, of course, my wife couldn't stay in that kind of place. So we still live in a hotel. And then next day, we call a taxi, ask the taxi, drove us to that address so I could visit those saints. And it took this taxi driver 1.5 hours to find a place. Eventually, he found a place. Then I said, okay, good. Now you already know this place. Then how about on Sunday morning, you came to my hotel, pick us up, and come to this place, so you don't have to spend another 1.5 hours. Then that driver said, oh, no. I never come to this place. And nobody dared to come to this place. You don't know how dangerous this area is. So that is why. So that taxi driver refused to pick us up, and he repeatedly, I will never come back to this place again. And so then that time, but I really thank the Lord. Those saints there really are very, very sweet. They are really good saints and very sweet. They wanted to give what they had the best to my wife and me. That was what they could come up, it's just the black tea and some bread. To us, that's so precious. That is what they have, and they just gave to me. And then, maybe it was from that rich brother, gave them a small car, an old small car, old Volkswagen. So then they said, don't worry, we will drive our small car to your hotel, pick you up, and then we will be your guards, okay? So that was the situation. But then my whole point was, this brother was very, seemingly he was so given, and he, all the time, he was willing to suffer, and also he's very diligent, and to be with all these saints. Okay, but then one day, he came to New York. Of course, I had to invite him to dinner. Those years, Flushing was not like today. And so in those years, when we want to have some Chinese food, we always went to Chinatown. So I said, okay, I will take you to Chinatown. And so we had dinner there. Then he asked me, what restaurant you will go to? No, I mentioned to him the restaurant, but to me, that was already a first-class restaurant. But this brother said to me, oh no, that restaurant is not good enough. And then he told me, in Chinatown, this restaurant, its specialty is this dish. And that restaurant, the specialty is that dish. And then another restaurant, is the specialty is that. So it's better we go to this restaurant to order this dish, and then go to the other restaurant to order the other dish. And so when he said this, he really exposed himself totally to me. And so how could you said you are so close, mingle with those poor brothers. But then when you come to here, then completely a different person. I was in New York. By that time, I already was in New York for many years. I never knew that there's so many restaurants. I never knew that this restaurant specialty is this or that. And I never went to these places. So then that gave me a very, very important impression. Now, we cannot really just think that it's easy to overcome these enjoyment of our physical body. And then eventually this brother became very proud, and then eventually he left the lost recovery. So this is something that really, this time when I read this, especially these few verses 17 and 18, I really realized we should not take this matter lightly. You could see that if we do not just under the control of the divine life inside of us, then it is very easily for us to be carried away by our flesh and by the Satan's work. So this is one thing concerning the body. But then concerning our soul, we can come to chapter 4. And so let us read these few verses, chapter 4, verse 1. From verse 1 to verse 4. Okay. Let's start together, okay? Use our spirit. Okay, verse 1. So then, my brothers, beloved, and long for my joy and crown, in the same way, stand firm in the Lord, beloved. I exhort you, radius, and I saw thinking to think the same thing, the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, genuine yours, assist them in the gospel, as well as with and the rest of my workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So here, you see that Paul wants to deal with our soul life. And here, especially, he even mentioned that these two sisters' name. And you can see that these two sisters are not regular or are new believers. Rather, they loved the Lord. Not only they loved the Lord, they even were Paul's co-workers. But even their brother, their sisters like this, still we could have problem in our soul. Now, in our soul, that is in our mind, emotion, and the will. And then very often, especially our mind, we very easy to have many different kind of opinions. And then in our emotion, very easy for us to have different kind of feelings. And so very often, our feeling is just against the Lord's feeling. Whatever the Lord loves, we hate. Whatever the Lord hates, like sins and the world, and we love. And so all of us, we cannot take things for granted. Most likely, these two sisters, not only they love the Lord, they even were the Paul's co-workers. They probably were in the church for many years, for a long time. But yet, still, they could have different opinions. Because of their different opinions, they are not one. When they are not one in their soul, then the church will suffer. And they themselves also will suffer. Therefore, here you see that Paul not only he tried to help these two sisters, he even asked the other brothers to help these two sisters. Now today, we should not just look at other people, we should just look at ourselves. And we all the time need to have fellowship with God and with one another. We said, even in the winter training, we mentioned this, that all of us, all the time, we have to keep ourselves in the fellowship. Now, that is 1 John chapter 1. And the kind of fellowship we should keep is two directions. One is vertical direction. That is, we should all the time to fellowship with the triune God. And God is light. Only when we have fellowship with God, only when we contact this God, then we can contact light. Now, once we contact light, then we can see the real situation. Now, how do we know whether we're in light or whether we're in darkness? Now, at the time when we only see other people's wrongdoings, we don't see our own weakness, that means we're in darkness. Now, if we are in light, then we will see our weaknesses. Then we will not have the time to look for other people's shortcomings. So we need to have this kind of vertical light, vertical fellowship with God. And then we can have the horizontal fellowship with the other brothers and sisters. So here, we need to have this kind of fellowship. And then here, one more thing we see. Again, Paul said, let's rejoice always. How can we rejoice always? In ourselves, we can never rejoice always. Maybe once a while we were happy. But this is rejoice in the Lord always. If we are not in the Lord, we cannot rejoice. Don't say rejoice always. So all the time, we have to keep in touch with this triune God. And so then I just mentioned two more things, and then I stop. One is in verse 5, it says, the Lord is near. Now, in the past, especially in China, the popular version of the Chinese Bible was the Union Version. And when they came to this verse 5, they did not know what does it mean, the Lord is near. So then they translate this in their way. They said, the Lord's coming back is near. But that is not what this verse said. This verse said, the Lord is near. So what does that mean? That means our Lord is near. And that is very important. Why we could have the rejoice always because the Lord is near and He is so near. So He actually is inside of us, cannot be any nearer. So this wonderful Christ is in us, in you, in me. That's how near He is with us. Therefore, if we see this, we all need to see this. I believe in our mind, we have heard this, I don't know how many times, but then in our living, in our personal life, in our church life, I don't know why, including me, that all the time we forget this. Forget what? Forget that the Lord is near. And the Lord is so near that He is inside of us all the time. He will never leave us. And therefore, regardless of what happened, regardless how much you're worried or you're suffered, you feel sad, all the time, just turn to the Lord right away. And so, if we do not turn to the Lord, if we do not really see Christ is near and experience this Christ who is so near with us, then it's hard for us to rejoice. Therefore, we all need to see our Lord is near. We all have to apply this. Lord, I praise you. You are near. All the other people are not reliable because many times when we need somebody listen to our complaint or this or that, but very often those ones physically they are not. It's not near because they, you know, we are all limited by time. We are all limited by space, and so. We need to have fellowship with the other saints, but don't be the first thing to do. The first thing to do is all the time we come to Christ, come to the Lord, and talk to Him. If you have something you want to criticize or you want to pour out to the Lord first, okay? Before you pour out whatever you make you angry to other people. So all the time, remember, Christ is near. And He is our best friend. And so it is safest that we just complain to the Lord instead of complain to other people, okay? And then very often, sometimes, either the space-wise, many of our good friends, they might not be nearby. Even if they are nearby, I also had many experiences like this, and I think, wow, this is my good friend. Maybe if I complain to him, in others, let him know and what a terrible time, a situation I'm in. Then very often, this happened to me also, that people come to me and they also said that they want to share with me their sufferings and so forth. And very often, when I said, well, you see, these terrible things happen to me, and sometimes my good friend would say, the problem I have is 10 times more serious than yours. Actually, I don't laugh at them. Many times I was like this too. When some brother or sister come to me and try to complain, you know, I have such a terrible problem, I don't know what to do. And then when they mention to me their problem, then I said, my problem is 10 times more serious than yours. Then so forget it. So that is our condition. But with our Lord, he will never turn you away, and he will always give you the best comfort. So then this is what we should experience. And so we thank the Lord. The Lord is near. And also related to this is 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, so verse 7. Let's read this with a strong spirit. Okay, so let's repeat this again with strong spirit, okay? Because of all anxiety on him. 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 Because of all anxi Yes, and that is in concerning you. Okay, so we praise the Lord, and so we need to cast all our concern to the Lord, and it's because the Lord cares for us, and He is the one that cares for us the most. And then once Brother Watchman Nee gave this example, that he said, all the problems that we have, don't blame on God. Today, many times that we blame the problem to God. How come God allowed this kind of thing happen? Or how come God allowed this kind of thing happen to me? No, don't put the blame on God. We have to see that all those things, especially many terrible things like 911. And so it is not by God. It's by Satan. Satan did all these things. And then, so when we have this kind of situation, what should we do? We have to see that that is still the Lord allowed Satan to do this. It's because the Lord wants to give us more time to preach the gospel, to bring people to God. And this is why the Lord still has not come back yet. And therefore, we all have the responsibility. You have this responsibility. I have this responsibility. It's why before the Lord comes back, we have to preach the gospel. And not only preach the gospel, we also need to bring people to God. This is our duty today. Now, so if there's many difficult situation, and so once Brother Watchman gave us this, he saw a person was building a wall, a house, that is a brick wall, and when they are building this, going higher and higher, and so when this the one who on the ground passed the brick to this one in the middle, and so if this person continuously receive all these bricks, he will be crushed to crushed to death, but definitely it would be too much for this one to take. So what should this one do is he just pass this brick to the one on top. And so if this one in the middle receive all these bricks to him, then he receive here, then pass on to the one and then another brick, then pass on to another to the one up. Then he will never be crushed by the heavy burden. So we thank the Lord that all these things are very real in our experiences. So I just share this, and I hope that we will not just take this as some doctrines, and that all these things are the things we can experience and in our daily life, and also experience in our church life. So I just share, I just stop here, and then you can continue to share whatever you enjoy.